Sairam, dear listeners, till now you have heard the Telugu live segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jari. This is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In continuation to last week's episode, we now have Sri Praveena sir elaborating to us some more aspects and details about the Vedic chanting. Over to Praveena sir.
Sairam, when we chant these Vedic mantras, to maintain an appropriate Shruti, I feel we can use the musical instruments also. During ancient times, when sages and seers and even the students, the Shishyas, who used to learn these Vedic mantras under them, they used to have a long practice and they used to spend a lot of time learning these Vedic mantras and maintaining the Shruti in such cases was not a difficult venture for them. But as we see nowadays, when we are busy with our own work and when not able to spend much time for learning of the Vedas, Vedic mantras, to maintain appropriate Shrutis, I feel we can use the musical instruments, because we may chant for a short period of time or even sometime a bit longer period of time, but it may help us to keep the Shruti, and that's how the vibrations which are created while chanting these Vedic mantras can be retained throughout our Vedic chanting. And as all of us know, the verses in Sanskrit, it could be the Vedic mantras, suktas, which are written in various meters or chandas. So also we can see in the classical Sanskrit, all those stotras and different verses also written in specific meters or the chandas. However, there is a bit of difference between the Vedic meter and also the meter that's used in the classical Sanskrit. Vedic meters are generally divided into two classes. First one is ordinary meters. When a verse does not exceed 48 syllables, now that constitutes the ordinary meter. Then we have the second type, long meters. They are called Ati Chandas. When a verse consists of syllables from 52 to 104, and irregularly, sometimes it could be even 106, that constitutes the Ati Chandas. However, the first class, that is, the ordinary meters, they are further divided into two important groups, and we can see they are even meters called Samachandas, example Jagati, and then we have the Vishamachandas, the uneven meters, example Brihati. Then we also have a third category called compound meters, Ati Chandas, example Shakakari. Here a verse is made up of two or more verses. If a verse of 1 meter is followed by one or two verses of different meters, the whole together forms a compound verse. Example, Pragatha. So in general we have, in the composition of these Vedic mantras, various meters such as Anushtup, Gayatri, Jagati, Pratishta, Pragada, Sankirna, commonly seen, a number of syllables in each foot or pada varies. But slight difference that you can see in the modern Sanskrit, classical Sanskrit, where the verses or various stotras are written in different meters, which includes Indra Vajra, Upendra Vajra, Upajati, Shalini, Vasanta Tilaka, Malini, Shikarini, Harini, Mandakranta, Sagdhara, and even Trishtup, Anushtup, etc. So, we can see all these verses, they have specific number of syllables in each pada, and number of pada also varies. For example, when we chant the Gayatri Mantra. Why this name Gayatri has come? We have various Gayatris which are chanted after various Vedic deities. It could be Agni Gayatri, Narasimha Gayatri, Aditya Gayatri, or even Vishnu Gayatri, Durga Gayatri, Devi Gayatri, etc. But in all these Gayatris, one thing is common. The number of padas, or the feet, and also the number of syllables in each pada. That's why the name has come. The Gayatri Chandas. Gayatri Chandasam Mata. And Gayatri is said to be one of the meters very commonly seen in Vedic literature and seem to be very sacred one, and many of the verses are written in this Gayatri Chandas, Gayatri meter. However, we can see these verses could be written even in some of the very simple chandas or the meter like Anushtup, where each pada consists of only 8 syllables. And many of the verses, stotras, are also written in this particular Anushtup meter. And apart from that, when we discuss about the way of chanting of these various Vedic mantras, important points to be taken care of and how we have to chant. Suppose a particular word in a mantra ends with swara, oval, and the very next word starts with another oval. According to Vedas or Vedic chanting, what we can notice very clearly is sandhis will not take place in many of the places. That's why, to indicate that, a slight pause after chanting the previous word and before chanting the next word. Slight pause is given in some way of Vedic chanting.
Sir, most commonly in our normal Vedic chanting in our mandir and even when the Dashara Yajnam time, we had seen that in some of the chantings there are some gaps given. For example, in Purushottam, Virajo Abhi, there is a gap between this thing. And there are some more places, in many of the mantras.
Yes.
There are a lot of gaps given. I mean, apparently there is no comma or a visarga.
Yes.
But still we tend to give a gap. Can you just explain?
Yes, this is only to indicate that sandhis are not formed between those two words. If you see the Vedic script, which has come intact without any kind of variation, and even today, although sandhis could be formed, either the provision for the sandhis could be formed between those two words, but yet we don't club those words. No sandhi is formed. Now this is the way in which chanting has come through the generations. For example, when you consider some of the examples, such as take one sentence from the Purushasuktam. Tasmadashva ajayanta. Tasmadashva, this particular word ends with swara, dashva. But the very next word starts with ajayanta, a. Again, another oval. So, actually, between these two ovals, a plus a or a plus a should become a. We should have chanted actually tasmadashva ajayanta. But Vedic chanting is not showing this particular sandhi between these two words. That's why, to indicate that there is no sandhi between these two words, tasmadashva ajayanta, a slight pause is given. Tena deva ayajanta.
Sir, one more, like, in the same thing.
Yes.
Virajo adipurushaha.
Yes, exactly. This also you can find in the case of mantram, such as Purushuktam. Virajo, here dhirgaswara followed by a oval. You can see, you don't chant it as Virajo Adipurusha, but to indicate that sandhi is not formed, and it has come throughout the generations without forming a sandhi, to show that we have to pause slightly. Virajo Adipurushaha Sajato Atyarichata Agnirva Apamayatanam vayurva apamayatanam. So such indications ensures that the clarity and intonations, purity of the intonations remain intact throughout the generations as we chant these Vedic mantras.
Sir, one more clarification was regarding same Purushottam.
Yes.
When we have a verse like Sashana Nashane Abhi, when you have a lot of low pitch intonations,
yes.
Why the last one is stressed a little more?
Yes. In one of the sessions earlier, I had indicated this one, that in Vedic chanting, unlike what we find in the case of shlokas that we see in the classical Sanskrit, which do not carry intonations or the various pitches of the sound. But these Vedic mantras are very unique and special in the sense that these Vedic mantras carry the intonations. And the efficacy of Vedic mantra lies in the intonations, pronunciation, clarity of the words, etc. And udatta, anudatta, swarita, dirghaswarita. Now such intonations which are commonly seen in Vedic chanting, they have to be chanted in the correct way. As you indicated in this particular line, Sashana Nashane Abhi. If you see this particular word taken from Purushasuktam, all the letters Sashana Nashane, all these letters actually carry the downward intonation, low pitch intonations. Then actually we should have chanted like Sashana Nasha. But actually it's not so. When you have continuously such letters carrying downward intonations, yes, we are supposed to chant them slightly down. But the last syllable, the last letter which carries the same intonation, will get little more extra stress. So it will be Sashana Nashane Abhi. So that's how we can see the last syllable will get little more extra stress, downward stress, in such context. So that may be the correct way of chanting.
Sir, if you take the case of Rudram,
yes,
the fourth Anuvaka,
yes,
there is this particular line which says, Namo Mahadbhyaha Kshullakebhyascha. Even if you see the script in the books, there is a comma given there.
Yes.
Is there any specific reason for the comma?
Now, this indication is only to tell us that you are supposed to again pause a bit. Any visarga followed by ksha, we are supposed to have a small pause. In the same paragraph, I think, namaha kshatrabhya sangha hetrabhyasya. So here also we pause slightly. So namaha, that particular word ends with anus visarga, followed by ksha. So in such cases, we are supposed to pause slightly and then chant it. So this is the normal rules and regulation that may help us or may guide us to chant correctly these Vedic mantras.
Sir, actually there is in Purusha Suktam and various of other mantras, in the script when we go through, we see some symbols like S and double S, which are not regular syllables which we see.
Yes.
For example, in Purusha Suktam,
yes,
Pado Osyeha Bhavat Punaha, there the double S comes.
Yes.
When we are chanting, is there any significance that we have to attach to this?
Yes. Now, this is to indicate there is a sandhi which is formed between the words. Actually, when you say Padosya, you said there is a particular symbol. So, if you split the word, Asya is the second word. Then you see the previous word, Padaha. But this Padaha becomes Pado, a Lopasandhi. So, to indicate that, and also followed by another, so Pado, Padaha becomes Pado, ends with a vowel, again starts with another vowel. So to indicate this particular sandhi, usually we designate mark with that particular letter, symbol. Okay? Sometimes to indicate, yes, there is a very strong and also double or the even dirghaswara which follows, we even sometimes mark two such symbols showing the yes marking. It's only the indicative of such sandhi which are formed between those ovals or the swaras and also the previous one, the lopa sandhi which has been created because of the visarga which has gone and a O has come.
So one common doubt which we encounter, Gayatri Mantra.
Yes.
Tat Savitur Varenyam.
Yes.
That Varenyam.
Yes.
We have to chant it Varenyam or Vareniyam. What is, like, some people say that you should chant it, they should give a small break when we chant in that. What is the correct way of chanting that, sir?
Okay. Actually, correct way of chanting, or if you see the word, Varenyam is, that Nyam is Sanyuktakshara. However, when we chant this particular Gayatri Mantra, the normal Vishwamitra Gayatri that we are familiar with, Tatsavitra Varenyam, it's Varenyam. However, the we are supposed to slightly space out. It becomes Vareniyam. Ni plus Yam. If you see the Gayatri meter itself, the Gayatri meter consists of three padas and each pada having eight syllables. And you start counting. Tat, sa, vi, tur, va, re, nyam. When you chant like this, you'll get only seven letters. Then how does it fulfill the rules and regulation of the Gayatri mantra? That's why, actually, we are supposed to then split. The Nyam, the Sanyuktakshara, is supposed to be split as Niyam. That's why it is said, Yakarena Iva Ashtattvam Puranam. So yes, it should become Tatsa Viturvare Niyam. Then you can see the fulfillment of the Gayatri Mantra requirement, Gayatri Michandas requirement, Vare Niyam. Even if you take another example, Trembakam Yajamahe, the Mrityunjaya Mantra, that you get a part of the Rudram. Actually, it is Trembakam Yajamahe, but usually we are used to chanting Trayambakam Yajamahe. Actually, but there is nothing wrong in chanting like this. Both mean the same. But the correct version is, it is actually Sanyuktakshara, it is Trembakam Yajamahe. So that's how you can see the various places, the certain important things that we are supposed to remember while chanting of these Vedic mantras, because the vibrations that are created while chanting these Vedic mantras, we are supposed to chant from the throat, from within the throat. So Vedic chanting should be done not merely from the lips, should come from within, deep throat, from the nabi itself. Then the real vibrations will be created.
Sir, has Swami told any specifics about how we should be chanted, how we should not be chanted?
Yes, yes. Bhagwan has also referred to the correct way of chanting. Initially, as all of us know, in the beginning, if we are the learners of Vedic mantras, because so many intonations are there, and we may struggle to get these intonations correctly. And obviously, we tend to move our heads up and down or sideways, etc. And sometimes even we use our hands also, moving up and downward along with the intonations going up and down. There may not be much problem with these things initially. But Swami has pointed out very clearly, as we keep on chanting, we have to reduce these things. We don't get used to moving our heads too much or even hands too much or various body parts too much, so that our emphasis will not go on to these movements of the body parts, but the modulation should come only from the throat part. We should be able to create such vibrations only by the modulations which are created from within. So that will be the correct way of chanting, and that will be able to produce the correct vibrations. And we can see, even today, many of the people, when they chant, but as they keep on chanting, they make too much of body gestures, too much of movement of head or the hands, etc., which actually Swami said may not be good for the correct way of chanting. So, thus we can see the Vedic mantras, which are very powerful, which have even the power to cleanse our own body, our own mind, and even the surroundings. That's why a separate school of thought which talks about a mantra therapy, which is able to purify one's body, one's mind, and even the surroundings, which is, I feel, is the need of the hour. When we see and feel everything is getting polluted outside, how can we cleanse? How can we clean our own environment? I think this can be done only by these Vedic vibrations, which carry all the good vibrations, spiritual vibrations, and the capacity to neutralize the evil effect and make oneself very pure and sanctified. I think we have made our own humble attempts to know how to chant the Vedic mantras and maybe how we can really create a better environment and cleanse ourselves by possibly correct way of chanting these Vedic mantras, which are said to be very, very powerful. We sincerely will try henceforth to reduce these errors or the mistakes, common mistakes that we may commit, and ensure that we try to improve ourselves in chanting the Vedic mantras, so that the real power, the real efficacy of the Vedic mantras, Vedic chanting, will be felt and experienced by each one of us. However, any further clarification, doubts, etc., you can write to us to this particular address, listener@radiosai.org. Thank you very much. Sai Ram.
Thank you, Praveena, sir.
Welcome, Ganesh.
Once again, we thank you, Praveena, sir, for this enlightening talk on the modalities of chanting the Vedas. Dear listeners, hope you enjoyed this exposition by Sri Praveena. Do write, as sir mentioned, do write your doubts, feedbacks, and valuable suggestions to listener@radiosai.org. This would help us perform better for all of you. This is Ganesh signing off with a prayer to Bhagavan. Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Samastaloka sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti shanti shanti. With this, we come to an end to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. From a few moments from now, you will be listening to the live proceedings of the Buddha Purnima celebrations from the Sai Kulwant Hall. Stay tuned to Radio Sai Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.